Welcome back to 7 o'clock hour, After Hours. Jay Binkley, Grant Nicholson. Grant, I know you've been looking forward to Jalen Daniels. I'm kidding, man. I know you're a K-State guy. You're probably a K-State guy. I like that fact. You don't back down, though. You put your money where your mouth is. You're like your season ticket holder. You go. You support your team. It's awesome.
I try my best.
Football and basketball. You got to do both. You got to do all.
We're going to hear from Coach Tang tomorrow.
Coach Tang is on with Carrington tomorrow, so that should be pretty good. Chris Kleiman's on vacation or something like that, or traveling or something. We're in here, but Coach Tang tomorrow. Do you like Varsity Donuts?
Of course, everybody likes Varsity
Donuts. Manhattan Brewery's pretty good, too, man. I don't know if you've been in there.
They got good brews.
Yeah, I've been to Manhattan Brewery. I love it. Keep in mind, Wamigo's just right outside of there. There's great taco places and stuff. You ever been to Wamigo?
Every single time we talk about K-State, you bring up Wamigo and their great tacos.
It's a great town.
It is.
Toto's Tacos, man.
Go Red Raiders.
Go Red Raiders. There you go. Jalen Daniels was with Carrington Harrison earlier today as we have Kansas State. We're parlaying off what Carrington did earlier, and yesterday was Missouri Day. Tomorrow, K-State. Here's Jalen Daniels. Great interview. He talks about his injury, what to expect. A lot of expectations. You're only going as far as he'll take Kansas Jayhawks. Jalen Daniels, they start off the conversation talking about what's it like seeing yourself in a video game.
Man, I'm not going to lie. It's absolutely a blessing. I mean, being able to play NCAA 14 as a kid and now being on College Football 25 when it's come out, I've gotten the chance to be able to play as myself in the game, be able to see how broken Devin Neal is in the game by itself. And being able to see our DB unit strap up all over the field, man, it's absolutely been a blessing to be able to play the game, be able to play as myself in the game.
And I'm guessing, you know, it's got to be a really exciting time because you're not in the game. Like, you're one of the better players in the game. You got a 90 overall, 88 speed, 90 acceleration. You got good teammates. You got a good defense. You are in a really good position in real life and on the game.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. Like I said, it's absolutely a blessing. You know, it's not every day that you get to say that you're on a video game that everybody in the nation is probably playing today. And, you know, being able to be that 90 overall has just shown the amount of progression that we made within the program, the amount of steps that we've been able to take since my freshman year. Because I'll tell you what, if they started college football after our 2020 season, I'm sure we wouldn't be that high right now.
That's funny you mentioned that, the steps forward. I was just talking to Devin Neal about that. What is it like to see those steps? I mean, from when Kansas recruited you, sort of the feeling around Kansas football, to now that you are here, you know, you are 90 overall. You guys are probably going to be ranked preseason top 25. You did get first place votes to win the Big 12. There is a lot of excitement about you guys heading into this year.
Absolutely, man. You know, being able to watch the culture of our program change, watch how the communication and how we go about certain things within our program change has been different, man. I mean, being able to see what Coach Leipold and Coach Sleeve are giving us as men, not only just as athletes, but as men, because they don't just care about us being able to better ourselves within the game of football, but they care about who we are after we're done with football. And that's one thing that I've always respected about our coaching staff, because, you know, it's just not about ball. You know, you can go some places where, you know, football is literally the only thing that you're here for. But, you know, being able to see the amount of growth and development that they care for us about has been amazing.
Jalen, when did you notice that culture shift and that culture change? I mean, it's been obvious from anybody who has followed this program, seeing it from the outside. You were in the building every day. When did you notice that shift?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably say it was during that first year Coach Leipold was here. You know, a lot of certain things that we did. I mean, you know, the biggest transition that we made from the beginning was going from an afternoon to a morning program. You know, it's not easy to make that transition, but if you're bought into the program and bought into, you know, what Coach Leipold had to offer to be able to help us grow as a program, then you would buy into it. And, you know, being able to see the little implementations that we put within the program as far as being able to meet the standard as a player on this team and in this program, I feel like those little things have helped us be able to get to where we are today.
I talked to Coach about it a couple of days ago, and his loyalty to the program, his loyalty to Lawrence and where he is. Did you ever worry? Were you ever scared that he was possibly going to leave last offseason when his name was rumored for 5-6 jobs?
I mean, not really. I'm not very big as to looking into the media for information and everything. Because, I mean, if you look into the media about myself during this past year, it wouldn't have been the most accurate the most accurate claims that were being thrown around about my name. So, you know, I'm not very big onto the media and everything with Coach Leipold. He's always been one of the most upfront guys, one of the most upfront coaches that I've had when it comes to being honest as far as, you know, whether if it's good or bad. He's always going to be able to keep it 1,000 with you. And, you know, I've always had faith in him telling us the truth. And, you know, he's been doing that the whole entire time. So, no, to answer your question, I didn't have any type of doubt of him staying or not.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas Jayhawks, Jalen Daniel. You mentioned yourself in the media last year. You are grown. I don't want to call you a kid in that sense, but you're also like a young adult. You're learning. You're still in college. What was it like to read about yourself so much on the internet? And I'm imagining you want to comment to everything and everybody about what they have to say.
Piggyback off what you said, you're right. I'm no longer a child or anything like that. But to say the least, I wasn't 21 during last year. I just turned 21 during the season. And quite frankly, right after the Oklahoma game is when I turned 21, and I wasn't able to spend the time with my family as much as I wanted to because of what was going on. So the little things like that, they hurt. Because I'm sure everybody who turned 21 got the chance, not everybody, but a lot of people get the chance to, you know, have fun for their 21st birthday. For me, I had to sit in the house. And, you know, my mom didn't really get to enjoy the dinner that we had when I turned 21 because of what was going on. So, you know, like you said, looking into the media, it was hard for me because, you know, I know what I'm going through. If I could be out there on the field right now, and I already feel bad because I couldn't be out on the field, and now I'm looking on the media, and now there's certain things that are being said that has never come out of my mouth. And when you start hearing stuff outside of the media, when your teammates start asking you if what's in the media is true or not, now you start overthinking and you're just like, bruh, at the end of the day, I just want to play football, bro. I'm just trying to play for my team. I didn't do all the off-season work, all the off-season training, the meetings, the everything to be able to not play during the season. I mean, nobody plays. Nobody does all of that to not go play ball. And, you know, I'm just glad to be able to be in the position that I'm in today. I want to thank all the trainers, all the doctors, all of the coaching staff for, you know, having full faith in me to be able to get back on the field. And, you know, it's definitely been a process, and I'm so glad to be where I'm at today because I'm able to be out there with my brothers.
When you are hearing all of this, are you frustrated? Are you mad? Are you hurt? Like, what emotion are you feeling during all of this? Because you mentioned it, like, you know, you are a legitimate NFL prospect. You want to play in these games. You want to be out there with your teammates and having success. But physically, you are unable to do so. And honestly, people outside your camp are questioning your toughness, your ability. What emotion are you feeling during this period?
I wasn't the most highly recruited guy. There was no media attention on me coming out of high school when I first signed to Kansas. There wasn't much media attention my first 2.5 years here while I was at Kansas. So, you know, all of this stuff kind of has become new to me within the past 2 years, being able to, you know, have NIL deals, being able to have certain influence within the social media realm. This is stuff that I've been having to get used to. And, you know, like you said earlier, sometimes you want to give your 2 cents on what somebody has to say. But and once you give those 2 cents, then you have a whole bunch of other comments that are going to come from that because now they think that they're able to get a response out of you. And quite frankly, I don't. My main objective this year wasn't to be able to tell everybody what was going on with me because, you know, when I got hurt, we were 4-0. You know, we had 8 games left. And at the end of the day, we still had a whole season that we had to worry about. And the way that I became the starter for University of Kansas was because of, you know, if you want to be honest, it was a lot of injuries that played a role into it. And in the game of football, it's next man up in mentality. So, you know, you have to be able to make sure the guys that aren't starting are ready to go.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas Jayhawks, Jalen Daniels. Jalen, I'm guessing at some point you wanted to quit last year. That would have been a very normal response. Hey, I've already played 4 years. I can go to the NFL. I work my way there. What brought you back to Kansas? What kept you motivated to come back, to play for guys like Devin Neal, Kobe Bryant, Lance Leipold? What motivated you to return this season?
You know, it's funny that you say something like that because me personally, as much as everybody wants to say that I'm an NFL prospect and, you know, that I've been able to do this and that, I personally feel like I haven't done much here at the program. My objective to come here was to be able to, you know, help turn the program around. And yes, we absolutely have done that. But me personally, I feel like we can go further. Yeah, we went from 0-9 to 2-10 to 6-7 to 9-4, but I don't feel like 9-4 is our team ceiling. I feel like we're able to surpass that. So, you know, being able to make that decision was more so based on the fact that, you know, I knew that we weren't done yet. If you ask Devin Neal about his decision on coming back, he probably felt the same exact way. So, you know, us being able to come back showed that we have a chance to be able to go do something special as a team. And we firmly believe that every day when we come into this building.
Jalen, what does that say about the culture that you've helped create and the team that, I mean, Devin said the exact same thing. Hey, I thought about going to the NFL, but I want to be here for us to make the college football playoff. You just said that same thing. What does that say about the locker room that everybody in there is playing for one another?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that we harp on in our program is you have to be able to have a we over me mentality. If you have a we over me mentality, then, you know, you're putting the team's goals first. Yeah, like your goals, everybody has personal goals. Everybody has personal things that they want to be able to achieve. But when we're talking about a we over me mentality, it's called putting your team's goals first, your teammates' goals in front, right after that, and then putting your personal goals underneath that. I mean, when you go about it that way, it shows why we go on the field and are able to fight and play with each other as much as we are when we're on the field going with fighting with each other.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of KU, Jalen Daniels, for a couple of more minutes here. I got to ask you physically, where are you today? How do you feel right now?
I feel great, man, honestly. I mean, like I said earlier, I'm blessed to be in the position that I'm in today. Lord knows that during the season, my mindset was nowhere near where it is now. I didn't really know what was next and what steps that I needed to take next during the season. And the fact that I'm where I'm at today allows me to be able to go out there on the field confidently, be able to go work out with the guys, be able to feel that brotherhood, that the way that our teammates are able to communicate with each other and be able to be collaborative when we're doing certain things. You know, that's a feeling that you don't really get after you're done playing in a team setting. You don't know if you'll ever get that locker room feeling again. So being able to be back in with the guys like that, it just makes me feel so much better.
A couple of fun questions here, and I'll get you out of here, man. Give me a video game that you just loved as a kid. So, like, you are 10, 11 years old. What's the video game that was your favorite?
I'm not going to lie, NCAA 14, man. Like I said, that was, if you really want to be honest, like, not to put an age on it, but I'm 21 years old, and NCAA 14 is now college football 25, so that's a whole 11-year difference, and that sounds about right. When I was about 10 or 11, those are the games that I was playing.
I'm going to give you the top five players on NCAA 14, let you know how long ago this was. So they had wide receiver from USC, Marquise Lee, A.J. McCarron, DeAnthony Thomas.
Dang.
Johnny Manziel was
DeAnthony Thomas. That's a Crenshaw High School grad.
Yeah, DeAnthony Thomas was fast as hell on there. Listen to this.
Absolutely. He was doing that in high school. Not everybody knows about that Crenshaw High School film. I've been watching DeAnthony.
He had an overall 97. His speed was 98. He had a 99 acceleration and a 97 spin and juke move. That guy was unstoppable on the game.
Literally unstoppable. He was a walking joystick.
The second highest rated player was Johnny Manziel. He was 97 overall, and number one was Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney was the highest rated player.
Jadeveon Clowney, what a guy.
I saw him play as a freshman at Arkansas. I went to South Carolina, Arkansas. Like, you could tell him at 17, 18-year-old, oh, he's different than everybody else on the field.
Yeah, literally. I mean, especially when you're playing the game and you're able to, you know, make these miraculous plays that, you know, not every single player on the game is able to make.
Let's say I hand you, like, the aux cord or the Bluetooth or however you connect to music, and I say that I want you to play some old-school music. What are you playing, and what would you consider to be old-school music? I asked my sister this. You and my sister are around the same age. She's 21 years old. I asked her this question, and she said Eminem and Ludacris, and I swear to you, Jalen, I did not buy her a Christmas gift last year.
No, I'm not going to lie. Eminem and Ludacris being old school is insane. I was growing up listening to Eminem, so I definitely can't call him old school.
I'm just telling.
I'm from Detroit, so I definitely grew up listening to a little Eminem.
I'm just telling you, she said Eminem or Ludacris. She said anybody who was popular after Tupac. I'm telling you, I did not get her a single thing for Christmas, man.
Anybody popular after Tupac is old school?
That's what she said.
That's crazy. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's what she said. We were asking people this question. So one would be hot dogs right out of the package. 10 would be absolutely burnt to a crisp. Where do you like your hot dog cooked on a scale from 1 to 10?
Probably 7.5, 8. I don't want it. Oh, honestly, I would have to see what the 7.5, 8 looks like, to be real. So I don't want it too burnt, but I definitely want it cooked. Like, if we're talking about state, like everybody makes fun of me because when I first got here, I was a well done state guy, and they're just like, "You're probably eating a hockey puck." I elevated my standards. I moved to a medium well, and people are still making fun of me. So if that tells you anything, I like my steak medium well. So I'm sure you can guess how I like that after.
I'm at a medium rare. I can live with a medium, though. Anything more than that, no thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to lie. I stop when my steak starts to still blink at me. That's where I got to stop it.
So let's say that, I don't know if you're in a relationship, I don't know your status, but let's say that, hey, some lady says, hey, I want you to take me to a nice dinner. I want to go to a nice meal. Where in Lawrence are you taking this person for a nice meal?
Oh, dang, you said in Lawrence, because if you was talking about L.A., I was going to say we're going right to Ruth's Chris. But if we're talking about Lawrence, Kansas, I'm probably going to take her to I'm probably going to take her to 785.
What kind of restaurant is 785?
I don't know how to specifically say what it is because they've had a lot of meals on there that I necessarily have not seen at your traditional restaurant. So I would want to fully tell you what's there. All I know is they had, fried duck there. And I never had that, so I tried it there. And you're right. Either 785 or 6 Mile.
Okay, I got to try both of these places out. I actually have never eaten at either one of these places. All right.
You never been to the 6 Mile Chop House?
I've never been there before. I got to check it out.
Okay, 6 Mile Chop House is where you definitely got to go get a meal there. We've had a few meals at 6 Mile Chop House, and the steak is absolutely amazing there.
I am actually curious to get your thoughts on this. Who is the person who has given you the best advice that's not in your family?
That's not in my family.
That's not in your family. Just over the last couple of years, I'm sure you've reached out to somebody, other quarterbacks, pros, maybe people that played at KU. Who's the person that's giving you the best advice?
I would probably say Kirk Cousins, but when I talked to him before both of our seasons last year.
How did this relationship come together? How did you and Kirk Cousins get linked?
Yeah, so Coach T. Sam, our receiver coach here, coached at Michigan State, which is where Kirk Cousins was at playing college ball. And they kind of been able to stay connected over the years. And Coach G. Sam said that he felt like it would be a great idea for us to be able to chop it up, be able to talk to Kirk, be able to talk some ball, be able to talk how he goes about certain things, what's the difference between college and the NFL, little things I should be worried about within the process of being able to become an NFL prospect. And, you know, being able to listen to the little gems that he gave me, being able to, you know, pick his brain apart a little bit just to see, you know, Kirk Cousins is a veteran in the NFL. You know, he's not a guy who just got there. He's a guy who's been able to, you know, maintain health, be able to stay in the NFL for quite some time now. And quite frankly, I feel as if Kirk Cousins is somebody who will definitely be able to help me within my journey, not just through the rest of college, but also when I'm able to hopefully play in the NFL.
Last thing here, where is your chain from last year, the one that you wore from Big 12 Media Day, and have you worn this chain since?
At the house. Probably. It's probably in, yeah. I don't want to 100% say it's in Kansas because it could still be in Los Angeles with my mom. But I haven't worn that chain since the BYU game this past season.
That is Jalen Daniels joining us on the show today to talk about his journey and as Kansas looks forward to the start of the season. Jalen, man, I've always appreciated our conversation. I really enjoy watching you play. I'm hoping that you have a happy and healthy season this year and that you guys reach all your goals.
Absolutely, man. I absolutely appreciate you guys for having me on the show once again. Appreciate you for all the love, all the support, and we absolutely appreciate you. Rock talk.
There you go. Carrington Harrison with Grant's favorite player, Jalen Daniels, the quarterback of Kansas. In the 4 years he's been there, 7 games, 6 games, 9 games, 3 games. I mean, the injuries have been a real problem with him. What's your favorite place to eat in Lawrence?
Honestly, I don't know how many meals I've had in Lawrence. Like 4? I couldn't name a
good restaurant. The rest
stop
on the way out of town?
I couldn't name a good restaurant in Lawrence, unfortunately.
They have good breweries. I like the Free State.
Yeah, I mean, Mass Street's cool. I've been to Mass Street a couple times, but I don't. I'm not frequenting Lawrence, Kansas.
To be honest with you, my favorite is Texas Roadhouse. I can't really say that because they're everywhere. Can't really say that. But anyway, coming up next, Mahomes says something yesterday, and I'm curious what you guys think, the text line, everybody else thinks, what you would bring to training camp next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back to After Hours, JB and Clayton. Grant Nicholson, man, people are chiming in about their favorite Lawrence eatery since Carrington brought it up to Jalen Daniels. Terrebonne, which is a Cajun place, a Creole place, has good po' boys. I have eaten there. I've seen they have a Fat Shack. That was on Shark Tank, right? Got a text about that. There's one in Manhattan as well. Have you ever seen the Fat Shack in Manhattan?
I don't believe so, no.
Well, it's in Lawrence.
Okay, good to know.
Text line chiming in. Last week was French Friday. One of the days. I mean, every day there's something different, but it was French Friday, and the text line really likes Culver's. Red Robin got a few responses, but it seems like Culver's got a bunch of responses from the text line. What's your favorite French fry?
My favorite French fry?
I don't mean to pry. I don't mean to get, you know, am I being too revealing here with you?
Maybe. I don't know. My favorite French fry, I don't even know. I don't really rank them.
You got to have one, man, where you like the fries. I'm just saying, if you go somewhere, it's not the burger and the fries, but if you go somewhere and you're like, I'm stopping just for fries. Like, you're only going, hey, man, I got to have their fries. Where are you going?
I mean.
Grant, this isn't a hard decision.
I don't know. Fries are not my main decider. McDonald's has good fries all the time.
That's acceptable.
Is that an acceptable answer?
They're very good. They're very, very good. It's acceptable.
Does Culver's have good fries?
Crinkle cut fries, yeah.
The crinkle cut's good. I like crinkle
Culver's
cut.
Are very good fries. They're very good fries.
They got great burgers.
I'm a Red Robin because...
Unlimited.
Yeah, and instead of like putting out rolls or something like that, or salsa or restaurants, they bring you fries. And they have seasoning. And they have that campfire sauce that goes in it. So much so that I'm playing the home game with it as well. You know what today is? Since I like national days... National Hot Dog Day.
Is it actually?
It's also National Lottery Day, too, so stop and get you some tickets. National Tattoo Day as well.
Pink, I haven't talked to you since the 4th of July. How do you feel about your boy, Joey Chestnut? He wasn't there.
That pisses me off still.
That he wasn't in the Derby at all?
100%. 100%. I look forward to that, man.
It's I know
like
you
get
do.
Up on Christmas morning and getting presents. I wake up on July 4th, and there's a couple things you look forward to. Watching fireworks, obviously. Celebrating America. Is number one. But watching the hot dog, I mean, that Joey Chestnut is America, man.
The guy who won the hot dog eating contest had like 10 or 15 hot dogs less than Joey.
It was sad.
Joey's like lowest score.
It was one of the worst athletic performances we've seen. 58 hot dogs was what won the men's competition. There was a female that crossed over the 50 mark. First time ever. She had 50. Nikki Sudo, she had 50. They should put her in the regular competition because guess what? She's pretty damn close.
Are you going to watch Kobayashi and Joey go at it?
That's a dumb question.
All right.
Of course I am, but not only that,
Joey's dominated Kobayashi. It's not much of a rivalry.
They went back and forth there. They had a little bit of a rivalry. Then Joey kind of went past, and they actually got in the eat-off, and Joey hammered him. Joey won the eat-off. He's on his way to 16 mustard belts that he holds now. But I watched the Joey Chestnut, so I did get my fix because he was at Fort Bliss, and they were raising money for the military families, right? And he wasn't eating his vegan hot dogs. They were all beef hot dogs. It was four soldiers versus Joey. And it was a 5-minute time limit instead of 10. Joey had 57 in 5 minutes. The Nathan's winner had 58 in 10. No. Go to the drawing board, do whatever, pay him whatever. ESPN needs to pony up and pay him. ESPN got the contract. They just re-upped this contract for the hot dog eating contest, right?
Why
did people love that? People love that contest. But if ESPN, you know, upped the stakes on it, I'd love to see what the I didn't even look at what the ratings were, but they need to figure out what to pay Joey Chestnut to get his butt back in that contest.
It was just money. There was nothing else to do. It just they weren't paying him enough.
He was being endorsed by a vegan hot dog company, and
they were unhappy with that.
Well, Nathan's, I love Nathan's hot dogs.
They make good dogs.
Matter of fact, that's why I like the Hy-Vee Fast and Fresh a lot. I mean, I love QT, but I love Fast and Fresh because they have the Nathan's on the rollers. Like, roller food's awesome, man. Like, seriously, that is. That is a great, great meal. And anything on a roller is awesome. If you had two places to go, Text line 913-586-7610. I'll get to Mahomes here in just a second. Jay Southland Tow Service text line. If I said that you have nothing, you have no personal possessions, you lost everything, a tornado came through, wiped out everything, right? And you could only shop at two places for an entire year. Now, you got to think about this. Where would you go? Because you're going to need clothing. You need food. You need fuel. You need health care to some extent. Where would you go for a year if you had the money and I said, hey, you got to start over everything in just two places, where would they be?
I don't even know where to begin to start. I don't know.
See, I love testing you,
Greg. Costco seems like a good choice, or Sam's Club, one of those.
Okay.
And then
you can work with that.
I don't know. Like a Bass Pro Shop or something? I don't know.
You can do that. All right, you got to think about this, Grant.
I don't know.
Where can I
You want me to say Quick Trip. That's what you want from me.
I don't want you to say that.
It seems like a leading question.
Right, if you say Sam's Club, you can buy gas at Sam's Club. Just like Quick Trip, right? You can get food there. You can get a hot dog there, drink, speaking of hot dog day. So those are acceptable answers. The Costco and Sam's is acceptable. I would pick Walmart because you have to have clothing. And you can get your eyes examined at a lot of Walmarts, but you can get your car fixed there too, right? You can get your car fixed there. And you got it, then there's a grocery store, so you can eat. You got clothing. You got to think about the stuff, Grant. So that would definitely be one of them. And the other place would be like a Quick Trip. Because I can go into Quick Trip. I mean, you can just spread out your meals, go to Quick Trip, go to Walmart, whatever. But you need fuel for your automobile. Again, two places, an entire year, where are you going?
What is this scenario that I have to also get fuel? I lost all of my possessions.
But you get to keep your car.
Okay.
Your dad can't drive you everywhere.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You keep the car. But anyway, it's national. Do you like hot dogs? What's the best thing you put on a hot dog?
Honestly, I don't do it a lot, but when I go to QT, you got to put like everything on it. The peppers, the pickle.
Right. Chicago dog style.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah, I love Chicago dogs. My favorite thing to do is with Nathan's, and I just did this the other night. Nathan's hot dog. And I put the Johnny Wilson sauce from Johnny's. I happen to like that place a lot. And I buy the Johnny sauce and I put it on there. It's like a tangy, like barbecue sauce, almost mixture. Purple onions and then shredded cheese. And jalapenos if I have them. That's how you eat a hot dog. National Hot Dog Day. Patrick, it reminds me of this because Patrick Mahomes said this. And it kind of, starving for information is what the national media is kind of doing right now. They're looking for any kind of story. And this actually made headlines on several different websites. You know, people were talking about it in NFL, ESPN, you name it. We're talking about this 11 seconds of Patrick Mahomes.
This is my first year I'm bringing a TV. So I haven't brought a TV ever before, but NCAA came out, and I'm going to have to turn it on. So I brought a TV for NCAA and the Olympics. So that's my first year of doing that.
Yeah, because Olympics get started the 26th, right? That river, they said they cleaned that river up in Paris. They're going to be opening ceremonies where turds were floating and everything. Remember, they've cleaned it up. The mayor was going to dive into it. But I can't wait for the Olympics. I would definitely bring a TV if I was going to a dorm. The video game system is brilliant. I mean, I would hate to copy off Patrick Mahomes, but it wouldn't be like a mattress topper. I know people that want to bring that or, you know, in your own sheets and stuff like that. I mean, I'm trusting the team, man. I'm just, you know, you clean the towels or whatever. But because really, you're fed well. The Chiefs are fed well. They have a turning table there so they can get what they want to eat, they get what they want to drink. Man, I would go laptop and then the PlayStation. Because on the laptop, you can watch TV. You can still get on the computer and do things. So I would go laptop and I would go the gaming system.
You don't think Patrick's bringing a laptop? Maybe he's not.
Of course he probably is. Of course he probably is. But he said if you had to bring two things. Because he mentions two things there.
Are we worried about Patrick's not being locked in? He's playing video games?
No.
Should be studying a playbook.
Yeah. No. I'll say this. Yeah, I know you're joking about that. But, man, you can get a lot of good plays from those games, though, right?
You can, like, make your own playbook and everything. Uh-huh. He probably has a grand old time coming up with
I mean, you're kind of watching film in a way anyway, right? You're reading defenses and everything else. You know what they do now? A lot of people are doing The virtual reality. Like Jameis Winston was doing it a few years ago where you're facing defenses and real NFL defenses, see how you react in different situations.
I wonder how Jameis Winston's career is different if he gets LASIK before he comes to the NFL.
I always thought that the interception numbers would come down on that. Text line 913-586-7610. Two things I want for you this time. What are you putting on your hot dog? And where is a great place to go get a hot dog? And also, what two things are you bringing to training camp? Coming up next, quarterback tiers. I actually saw this and I agreed with it. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Grant Nicholson. You know, Grant, that Bass Pro Shops, that's one of my favorite places ever in the world. It's actually pretty good because you can hunt and fish. You can go get your own food, right?
I got food
grab
there.
Grab a boat out there.
I got candy there.
And a lot of clothes.
Farmer's Almanacs.
Yeah. So you get the food. They have a nice little snack shop and stuff in there in the Bass Pro Shops.
Summer clothes, winter clothes.
And there's
clothes.
A restaurant. There's a restaurant in Bass Pro Shops, too.
A lot of camping gear.
Yeah. Definitely. So, yeah, because I did say that two places. If you go to Bass Pro Shops, you do have to have a place to live, right? So you get a trailer or get a camper.
You've given
or
me
tent
no
or whatever.
Details here, so I'm guessing I'm just living out of my car in the apocalypse somewhere.
Sure, sure.
So I think Bass Pro Shop, I think that's a good call.
816 says mustard bink with chili cheese, diced purple onions, and jalapenos if available on a big old Sam's Adams beer to wash it down. That's with the hot dogs. A lot of Costco or Sam's being the right choice to go with here. Walmart and QT. Someone's answers as well. Menards. That's a good one. Tools and stuff like that. But what are you going to do with your tools? There's everything in Menards. There's a little mini grocery store. There's everything in Menards. You could spend a long time in a Menards. You ever been to one?
I have, yeah. To put one in by my parents' house not too long ago.
Yeah. You're getting an elite answer there for your Bass Pro Shop. So, Nathan's Dogs are the only choice for National Hot Dog Day. There used to be a hot dog place right over here. It was near the studio. It's like New York style dogs or something. I forgot what it was. Dog house or something like that. It was something, but it's out of business, I guess.
I'm not running around clocking hot dog restaurants as I drive around town.
Have you ever watched how they're made?
Yeah.
Stay away from that. Stay away from that. I once asked Joey Chestnut, by the way, when he came in studio with us, because he did make his way to Kansas City once. He was representing Nathan's. Like the Nathan's hot dog hat. It's weird to see him like with another company, huh? Not repping that. I once asked him, too, a question. I said, can you just go to the ballpark and enjoy a hot dog? Or do you have to eat like 70 of them? Or can you just go enjoy it? And he said he could, but it's got to be tough.
Well, you watch that 30 for 30. He like trains his body.
Oh, yeah, he does. He looks like he's in shape now. He's been working out and everything.
He like tries to eat at a specific time when he's like deprived himself of that, man, so he can eat a lot.
These guys are fine-tuned athletes at this point. I mean, there are, you know, some fat guys in it, but not a lot.
I was on the show last week with Drew, and he was steamed thinking about you saying that they're athletes. He didn't think they're athletes.
Well, Drew's wrong. He also didn't say bowling was a sport, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he said bowling wasn't.
It is. Bowling's 100% a sport. Bags is a sport. Cornhole's a sport, right? That's on, you know. I consider poker a sport. Not the spelling bee. I'm with you on that. Even though ESPN does show that, I'm not going to do that one.
I like the spelling bee.
That might be the weirdest thing you've ever said. And you've said a lot of weird
things.
That
crap. I like the spelling bee?
Yeah, what's so fun about that?
It's fun to try to spell the words.
Can I get the word of origin and definition, please?
They're using their context clues. They're trying to get more information on the words.
Are you good at spelling?
I used to be. I'm trash now, I'm sure.
Spell superfluous.
S-U-P-E-R-F-L-O-U-S. You didn't have it looked up?
No, I didn't. S-U-P-E-R-F-L. What'd you say after F-L?
I said O-U-S.
U-O-U-S. Ah! Already out.
Dang.
First one. You didn't ask me for the origin or anything. Definition, nothing.
I didn't know how much time I had.
You didn't ask me for any of that. Anyway, quarterback tiers. We had a little fun this segment. We'll do that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back to After Hours. From my dude Zach, hot dog, mustard, relish, and onions. If sauerkraut available, add that. Best is home grilled. It's the best hot dogs home grilled, he says. Training camp, you take a laptop and beer. See, as much as I like beer, would that be like something you'd be thinking about waking up that early in the morning? Like, it might be just Gatorade time or Powerade, you know, for just a couple weeks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're only there for like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, training camp, I'd have to limit the beer until the off days they give you and go out then. Joe Montana used to take his teammates to Bozeman up in River Falls, Wisconsin. Nothing wrong with the going out and having a brew with the fellas, but I don't know if I'd keep beer in my fridge. Especially when drinks are available, I think. If you need a Powerade or Gatorade, just go get it. You know? It's a training table. Just go and do that. I saw this thing, Grant, on speaking of quarterbacks that we were talking about earlier. The Big Three ranking the 2020. Will Brunson put it out. He puts out good stuff on CBS. He put the tiers down. The Big Three. So it's going to be a big shocker when I say Mahomes is in the top tier, right? That'd be ridiculous because, of course, he is. The Big Three, he says, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. I can understand that. Burrow is who I would have had in there last year because last year Burrow was in there. It was Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen. But it's hard to leave Lamar Jackson out of that considering the Ravens' record this year, going to the AFC title game, the fact he's a two-time MVP. I don't really have a problem with that. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, the second tier, they put Burrow down there, and Burrow clearly is a first-tier quarterback. Now, how can he come back with wrist injury and stuff like that? We'll see. Some people expecting him not to be the same. But on the second tier, C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love, and Joe Burrow. I think it's way too early. I know there's some people like Jordan Love. I'm a C.J. Stroud guy. I don't know if I put him there yet until he proves it again. Joe Burrow, definitely there.
Yeah, it almost kind of feels like Joe Burrow should be in that second tier by himself as like a can you stay healthy caveat.
Yeah.
Keeping him out of the first tier because he's a good enough player to be in that first tier. But I mean, he's just not healthy.
I would have even put Justin Herbert there. I mean, yeah, he hasn't won crap in the postseason. I get that. He won that one playoff game. But dude's got an arm. I mean, dude can't throw. He put up big numbers. But C.J. Stroud, I think, can get to this point because I think the Texans are a good team. I think we'll see. I like D'Amico Ryans as a coach, but I think they're going to be a good team. But I haven't jumped that bandwagon in Jordan Love.
Yeah, I'm not quite there on Jordan Love either. He's had like half a good year.
I think they're forgetting like Aaron Rodgers. Like to me, Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers.
No, he's not. He can't be.
We don't know that.
We kind of do.
Brady got awesome in his 40s. We don't know. He had an Achilles last year. We don't know what he can do.
Yeah, but Brady was locked into football. Is Aaron Rodgers locked into what the New York Jets are doing every day?
He just won MVP 2 years ago. So, I mean.
And last year, his leg was busted, and he was doing the media tour all year long.
The sneaky upside, high-level starters, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy. Put Justin Herbert there, Dak Prescott, and Jalen Hurts. I don't think.
Brock Purdy's too high.
Brock Purdy is too high. I don't think Justin Herbert belongs in the same same group as Dak Prescott.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But the question is, and then they have intriguing with question marks. They have Trevor Lawrence, Aaron Rodgers, Tua, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, Kyler Murray. I would not put a group of quarterbacks and include Aaron Rodgers with the Will Levis or Anthony Richardson. Come on,
yeah,
man.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers is too low. I suppose you're right.
Yeah, he's too low.
Swap him in Brock Purdy. Purdy is not that good.
Yeah, definitely playing him. But, you know, he's getting that seventh-round money. They're going to have success until they got to pay him, and then you can't keep all those ancillary pieces around him.
Such a fluke NFC Championship game. He bounced the football off of a Lions player head. It's the only reason they won that game. So I have no faith in Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, he had some numbers. The one thing about Brock Purdy is, and I get it, he did a great job with that team, but that team was a solid team. I mean, there's some weapons there. When you have George Kittle, and you got McCaffrey doing his deal, you got Debo, you got Brandon Ayuk, he had some talent. And you had Trent Williams there, the best left tackle in football. He wasn't asked to do a ton. But I remember in Minnesota, and they played the Vikings. And I was watching the Niners-Vikings. And at the end of the game, he had two opportunities to go down and win that game. And he threw a pick to the same dude both times. It's like, man, that's not what you do at that upper echelon. I get it, he went to the Super Bowl, but yeah, he had two games to win there, home games. And again, that's a very talented football team.
Yeah, he's a point-and-click quarterback. I mean, I think he's fine. Their head coach tells him where to throw the football every time. So he points and he clicks right at Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk or hands it off to Christian McCaffrey. Like, I don't know.
Oh, by the way, their other tier five, you can win with them. Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Gardner Minshew. Baker belongs definitely ahead of Anthony Richardson because he's proved some at this point. And Will Levis, you got to put Baker Mayfield above those guys. Baker had a good year last year.
He did. He had a good year. I think he fits well in Tampa for the moment, at least.
I do, man. I mean, he's focused. I mean, you mess up early in his career. It's redemption time. He goes out there and he does his deal every time.
You know what's so funny is Gardner Minshew might be the starter for the Raiders this year.
Might be. That's the thing. I would have already made him the starter.
He should be.
He should be. Aiden O'Connell right now, I mean, he said has just a little bit of the edge over Gardner Minshew.
Why did they not take a quarterback last year?
Well,
are they trying to tank for next year's class?
Well, they're going to have to get an elite quarterback.
Yeah.
But that was the big question. Everybody thought they were. I mean, there's rumors they tried to jump up. They tried to jump up, but nobody was willing to participate. But they will. You know, Tom Brady's still trying to buy, 10% of that team or the small percentage of that team? But he understands the value of the quarterback, clearly. The Raiders' first pick was Brock Bowers. I actually like Brock Bowers a lot, but you got to think at this point, you know, Caleb Williams was off the board. Jaden Daniels was off the board. Michael Penix Jr. was off the board at that time. J.J. McCarthy was off the board at that time before the Raiders picked.
They don't want to roll with Bo Nix?
I honestly think instead of Bowers, if Michael Penix Jr. was still there, I think that's what they would have done. I do. Or if J.J. McCarthy would have slipped to them, I think that's what they would have done. Because I know Denver's got Bo Nix and blah, 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 blah. Man, they're still so far away. It's such a different class than Mahomes and Herbert at this point. You know, this isn't just Chargers love. Jim Harbaugh, I think, he's obviously a good coach. He's a national championship coach, but he's won everywhere he's been. I don't think they're division winning worthy at this point. I did like their draft. They're still missing some pieces at wide receiver because you lose Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
I mean, the Chargers have been perpetually in the show me what you can do before I believe it category.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I totally get it at that point, but yeah, you got to have the quarterback, and that's the thing. Just like we talked about Jalen Daniels a minute ago from Kansas. Like, you're only going as far as he's going.
Correct, yeah.
Because last year, Jason Bean played out of his mind. Not there anymore. So, yeah, you've got to have that quarterback. You got to believe in that quarterback. That's the one thing that makes the difference. Just like we said, Mahomes out there in St. Joe on the practice field, and guys like Xavier Worthy expected to step up right now as we go. I mentioned Kingsley Suamattia, the Kansas City Chiefs, because I think this is actually the biggest storyline in training camp. Who's going to win the left tackle job? Obviously, Wanya Morris, probably the leader in the clubhouse at this point because he had four starts under his belt. He's got a year with the Chiefs. But what can Kingsley do? And again, when the full squad shows up and who's out there with the starting five right in the beginning, that's usually the direction. That's usually the leaders in the clubhouse, that first group they put out there. We'll hear from Kingsley next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Grant Nicholson. You know, Grant, that Bass Pro Shops, that's one of my favorite places ever in the world. It's actually pretty good because you can hunt and fish. You can go get your own food, right?
I got food
grab
there.
Grab a boat out there.
I got candy there.
And a lot of clothes.
Farmer's Almanacs.
Yeah. So you get the food. They have a nice little snack shop and stuff in there in the Bass Pro Shops.
Summer clothes, winter clothes.
And there's
clothes.
A restaurant. There's a restaurant in Bass Pro Shops, too.
A lot of camping gear.
Yeah. Definitely. So, yeah, because I did say that two places. Because if you go to Bass Pro Shops, you do have to have a place to live, right? So you get a trailer or get a camper.
You've given me no details here, so I'm guessing I'm just living out of my car in the apocalypse somewhere.
Sure, sure.
So I think Bass Pro Shop, I think that's a good call.
816 says mustard bink with chili cheese, diced purple onions, and jalapenos if available on a big old, in a big old Sam's Adams beer to wash it down. That's with the hot dogs. A lot of Costco or Sam's being the right choice to go with here. Walmart and QT. Someone's answers as well. Menards, that's a good one. Tools and stuff like that. But what are you going to do with your tools? Menards is, there's everything in Menards. There's a little mini grocery store. There's everything in Menards. You could spend a long time in a Menards. You ever been to one?
I have, yeah. To put one in by my parents' house not too long ago.
Yeah. You're getting an elite answer there for your Bass Pro Shop. So, man, Nathan's Dogs are the only choice for National Hot Dog Day. There used to be a hot dog place right over here. It was near the studio. It's like New York Style Dogs or something. I forgot what it was.
Dude, I got
it.
It's
a dog house or something like that. It was something, but it's out of business, I guess.
I'm not running around clocking hot dog restaurants as I drive around town.
Have you ever watched how they're made?
Yeah.
Stay away from that. Stay away from that. I once asked Joey Chestnut, by the way, when he came in studio with us, because he did make his way to Kansas City once, he was representing Nathan's. Like the Nathan's hot dog hat. It's weird to see him like with another company, huh? Not repping that. I once asked him too a question. I said, can you just go to the ballpark and enjoy a hot dog? Or do you have to eat like 70 of them? Or can you just go enjoy it? And he said he could, but it's got to be tough.
Well, you watch that 30 for 30. He like trains his body.
Oh, yeah, he does. He looks like he's in shape now. He's been working out and everything.
He like tries to eat at a specific time when he's like deprived himself of that, man, so he can eat a lot.
These guys are fine-tuned athletes at this point. I mean, there are, you know, some fat guys in it, but not a lot.
I was on the show last week with Drew, and he was steamed thinking about you saying that they're athletes. He didn't think they're athletes.
Well, Drew's wrong. He also didn't say bowling was a sport, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he said bowling wasn't.
It is. Bowling's 100% a sport. Bags is a sport. Cornhole's a sport, right? That's on, you know. I consider poker a sport. Not the spelling bee. I'm with you on that. Even though ESPN does show that, I'm not going to do that one.
I like the spelling bee.
That might be the weirdest thing you've ever said. And you've said a lot of weird
crap. I like the spelling bee?
Yeah, what's so fun about that?
It's fun to try to spell the words.
Can I get the word of origin and definition, please?
They're using their context clues. They're trying to get more information on the words.
Are you good at spelling?
I used to be. I'm trash now, I'm sure.
Spell superfluous.
S-U-P-E-R-F-L-O-U-S. You didn't have it looked up?
No, I didn't. S-U-P-E-R-F-L. What'd you say after F-L?
I said O-U-S.
U-O-U-S. Ah! Already out.
Dang.
First one. You didn't ask me for the origin or anything. Definition, nothing.
I didn't know how much time I had.
You didn't ask me for any of that. Anyway, quarterback tears. We had a little fun this segment. We'll do that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back to After Hours. From my dude Zach, hot dog, mustard, relish, and onions. If sauerkraut available, add that. Best is home grilled. It's the best hot dogs home grilled, he says. Training camp, you take a laptop and beer. See, as much as I like beer, would that be like something you'd be thinking about waking up that early in the morning? Like, it might be just Gatorade time or Powerade, you know, for just a couple weeks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're only there for like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, training camp, I'd have to limit the beer until the off days they give you and go out then. Joe Montana used to take his teammates to Bozeman up in River Falls, Wisconsin. Nothing wrong with going out and having a brew with the fellas, but I don't know if I'd keep beer in my fridge. Especially when drinks are available, I think. If you need a Powerade or Gatorade, just go get it. You know? It's a training table. Just go and do that. I saw this thing, Grant, on speaking of quarterbacks that we were talking about earlier. The Big Three ranking the 2020. Will Brunson put it out. He puts out good stuff on CBS. He put the tiers down. The Big Three. So it's going to be a big shocker when I say Mahomes is in the top tier, right? That'd be ridiculous because, of course, he is. The big three, he says, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. I can understand that. Burrow is who I would have had in there last year, because last year Burrow was in there. It was Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen. But it's hard to leave Lamar Jackson out of that, considering the Ravens' record this year, going to the AFC title game, the fact he's a two-time MVP. I don't really have a problem with that. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, the second tier. They put Burrow down there, and Burrow clearly is a first-tier quarterback. Now, how can he come back with wrist injury and stuff like that? We'll see. Some people expecting him not to be the same. But on the second tier, C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love, and Joe Burrow. I think it's way too early. I know there's some people like Jordan Love. I'm a C.J. Stroud guy. I don't know if I'd put him there yet until he proves it again. Joe Burrow, definitely there.
Yeah, it almost kind of feels like Joe Burrow should be in that second tier by himself as like a can you stay healthy caveat.
Yeah.
Keeping him out of the first tier, because he's a good enough player to be in that first tier. But he's just not healthy.
I would have even put Justin Herbert there. I mean, yeah, he hasn't won crap in the postseason. I get that. He won that one playoff game. But dude's got an arm. I mean, dude can't throw. He put up big numbers. But C.J. Stroud, I think, could get to this point, because I think the Texans are a good team. I think we'll see. I like D'Amico Ryans as a coach, but I think they're going to be a good team. But I haven't jumped the bandwagon in Jordan Love.
Yeah, I'm not quite there on Jordan Love either. He's had like half a good year.
I think they're forgetting like Aaron Rodgers. Like, to me, Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers.
No, he's not. He can't be.
We don't know that.
We kind of do.
Brady got awesome in his 40s. We don't know. He had an Achilles last year. We don't know what he can do.
Yeah, but Brady was locked into football. Is Aaron Rodgers locked into what the New York Jets are doing every day?
He just won MVP 2 years ago. So, I mean.
And last year, his leg was busted, and he was doing the media tour all year long.
The sneaky upside, high-level starters, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy. Put Justin Herbert there, Dak Prescott, and Jalen Hurts. I don't think
Brock Purdy's too high.
Brock Purdy is too high. I don't think Justin Herbert belongs in the same same group as Dak Prescott.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But the question is, and then they have intriguing with question marks. They have Trevor Lawrence, Aaron Rodgers, Tua, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, Kyler Murray. I would not put a group of quarterbacks and include Aaron Rodgers with the Will Levis or Anthony Richardson. Come on,
yeah,
man.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers is too low. I suppose you're right.
Yeah, he's too low.
Swap him in Brock Purdy. Purdy is not that good.
Yeah, definitely playing him. But, he's getting that seventh round money. They're going to have success until they got to pay him, and then you can't keep all those ancillary pieces around him.
Such a fluke NFC championship game. He bounced the football off of a Lions player head. It's the only reason they won that game. So I have no faith in Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, he had some numbers. The one thing about Brock Purdy is, and I get it, he did a great job with that team, but that team was a solid team. I mean, there's some weapons there. When you have George Kittle, and you got McCaffrey doing his deal, you got Debo, you got Brandon Ayuk, he had some talent. And you had Trent Williams there, the best left tackle in football. He wasn't asked to do a ton. But I remember in Minnesota, and they played the Vikings, and I was watching the Niners-Vikings, and at the end of the game, he had two opportunities to go down and win that game. And he threw a pick to the same dude both times. It's like, man, that's not what you do at that upper echelon. I get it. He went to Super Bowl, but he had two games to win there, home games. And again, that's a very talented football team.
Yeah, he's a point-and-click quarterback. I mean, I think he's fine. Their head coach tells him where to throw the football every time. So he points and he clicks right at Debo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk, or hands it off to Christian McCaffrey. Like, I don't know.
By the way, their other tier five, you can win with them. Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Gardner Minshew. Baker belongs definitely ahead of Anthony Richardson because he's proved some at this point. And Will Levis, you got to put Baker Mayfield above those guys. Baker had a good year last year.
He did. He had a good year. I think he fits well in Tampa for the moment, at least.
I do, man. I mean, he's focused. I mean, he messed up early in his career. It's redemption time. He goes out there and he does his deal every time.
You know what's so funny is Gardner Minshew might be the starter for the Raiders this year.
Might be. That's the thing. I would have already made him the starter.
He should be.
He should be. Aiden O'Connell right now, I mean, he said has just a little bit of the edge over Gardner Minshew.
Why did they not take a quarterback last year?
Well,
are they trying to tank for next year's class?
Well, they're going to have to get an elite quarterback.
Yeah.
But that was the big question. Everybody thought they were. I mean, there's rumors they tried to jump up. They tried to jump up, but nobody was willing to participate. But they will. You know, Tom Brady's still trying to buy, what, 10% of that team or a small percentage of that team? But he understands the value of the quarterback, clearly. The Raiders' first pick was Brock Bowers. I actually like Brock Bowers a lot, but you got to think at this point, you know, Caleb Williams was off the board. Jaden Daniels was off the board. Michael Penix Jr. was off the board at that time. J.J. McCarthy was off the board at that time before the Raiders picked.
They don't want to roll with Bo Nix?
I honestly think instead of Bowers, if Michael Penix Jr. was still there, I think that's what they would have done. I do. Or if J.J. McCarthy would have slipped to them, I think that's what they would have done. Because I know Denver's got Bo Nix and blah, 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 blah. Man, they're still so far away. It's such a different class than Mahomes and Herbert at this point. You know, this isn't just Chargers love. Jim Harbaugh, I think, he's obviously a good coach. He's a national championship coach, but he's won everywhere he's been. I don't think they're division winning worthy at this point. I did like their draft. They're still missing some pieces at wide receiver because you lose Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
I mean, the Chargers have been perpetually in the show me what you can do before I believe it category.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I totally get it at that point. But, yeah, you got to have the quarterback, and that's the thing. Just like we talked about Jalen Daniels a minute ago from Kansas. Like, you're only going as far as he's going.
Correct, yeah.
Because last year, Jason Bean played out of his mind. Not there anymore. So, yeah, you got to have that quarterback. You got to believe in that quarterback. That's the one thing that makes the difference. Just like we said, Mahomes out there in St. Joe on the practice field, and guys like Xavier Worthy expected to step up right now as we go. I mentioned Kingsley Suamatia, the Kansas City Chiefs, because I think this is actually the biggest storyline in training camp. Who's going to win the left tackle job? Obviously, Wanya Morris, probably the leader in the clubhouse at this point because he had 4 starts under his belt. He's got a year with the Chiefs. But what can Kingsley do? And again, when the full squad shows up and who's out there with the starting 5 right in the beginning, that's usually the direction. That's usually the leaders in the clubhouse, that first group they put out there. We'll hear from Kingsley next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back to After Hours. From my dude Zach, hot dog, mustard, relish, and onions. If sauerkraut available, add that. Best is home grilled. It's the best hot dogs home grilled, he says. Training camp, you take a laptop and beer. See, as much as I like beer, would that be like something you'd be thinking about waking up that early in the morning? Like, it might be just Gatorade time or Powerade, you know, for just a couple weeks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're only there for like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, training camp, I'd have to limit the beer until the off days they give you and go out then. Joe Montana used to take his teammates to Bozeman up in River Falls, Wisconsin. Nothing wrong with going out and having a brew with the fellas, but I don't know if I'd keep beer in my fridge. Especially when drinks are available, I think. If you need a Powerade or Gatorade, just go get it. You know, the training table, just go and do that. I saw this thing, Grant, on speaking of quarterbacks that we were talking about earlier. The Big Three ranking the 2020. Will Brunson put it out. He puts out good stuff on CBS. He put the tiers down. The Big Three. So it's not going to be a big shocker when I say Mahomes is in the top tier, right? That'd be ridiculous because, of course, he is. The Big Three, he says, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. I can understand that. Burrow is who I would have had in there last year because last year Burrow was in there. It was Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen. But it's hard to leave Lamar Jackson out of that considering the Ravens' record this year, going to the AFC title game, the fact he's a 2-time MVP. I don't really have a problem with that. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, the second tier. They put Burrow down there, and Burrow clearly is a first-tier quarterback. Now, how can he come back with wrist injury and stuff like that? We'll see. Some people expecting him not to be the same. But on the second tier, C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love, and Joe Burrow. Like, it's way too early. I know there's some people like Jordan Love. I'm a C.J. Stroud guy. I don't know if I'd put him there yet until he proves it again. Joe Burrow, definitely there.
Yeah, it almost kind of feels like Joe Burrow should be in that second tier by himself as like a can you stay healthy caveat.
Yeah.
Keeping him out of the first tier because he's a good enough player to be in that first tier. But I mean, he's just not healthy.
I would have even put Justin Herbert there. I mean, yeah, he hasn't won crap in the postseason. I get that. He won that one playoff game. But dude's got an arm. I mean, dude can't throw. He put up big numbers. But C.J. Stroud, I think, could get to this point because I think the Texans are a good team. I think we'll see. I like DeMeco Ryans as a coach, but I think they're going to be a good team. But I haven't jumped the bandwagon in Jordan Love.
Yeah, I'm not quite there on Jordan Love either. He's had like half a good year.
I think they're forgetting like Aaron Rodgers. Like to me, Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers.
No, he's not. He can't
be. We don't know that.
We kind of do.
Brady got awesome in his 40s. We don't know. He had an Achilles last year. We don't know what he can do.
Yeah, but Brady was locked into football. Is Aaron Rodgers locked into what the New York Jets are doing every day?
He just won MVP 2 years ago. So, I mean.
And last year, his leg was busted and he was doing the media tour all year long.
The sneaky upside high-level starters, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy. Put Justin Herbert there, Dak Prescott, and Jalen Hurts. I don't think
Brock Purdy's too high.
Brock Purdy is too high. I don't think Justin Herbert belongs in the same same group as Dak Prescott.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But the question is, and then they have intriguing with question marks. They have Trevor Lawrence, Aaron Rodgers, Tua, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, Kyler Murray. I would not put a group of quarterbacks and include Aaron Rodgers with the Will Levis or Anthony Richardson. Come on,
yeah,
man.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers is too low. I suppose you're right.
Yeah, he's too low.
Swap him in Brock Purdy. Purdy is not that good.
Yeah, definitely playing him. But, you know, he's getting that seventh-round money. They're going to have success until they got to pay him, and then you can't keep all those ancillary pieces around him.
Such a fluke NFC Championship game. He bounced the football off of a Lions player head. It's the only reason they won that game. So I have no faith in Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, he had some numbers. The one thing about Brock Purdy is, and I get it, he did a great job with that team, but that team was a solid team. I mean, there's some weapons there. When you have George Kittle, and you got McCaffrey doing his deal, you got Debo, you got Brandon Ayuk, he had some talent. And you had Trent Williams there, the best left tackle in football. He wasn't asked to do a ton. But I remember in Minnesota, and they played the Vikings, and I was watching the Niners-Vikings, and it was at the end of the game, he had two opportunities to go down and win that game. And he threw a pick to the same dude both times. It's like, man, that's not what you do at that upper echelon. I get it. He went to Super Bowl, but yeah, he had two games to win there, home games. And again, that's a very talented football team.
Yeah, he's a point-and-click quarterback. I mean, I think he's fine. Their head coach tells him where to throw the football every time. So he points and he clicks right at Debo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk or hands it off to Christian McCaffrey. Like, I don't know.
Oh, and by the way, their other tier five, you can win with them. Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Gardner Minshew. Baker belongs definitely ahead of Anthony Richardson because he's proved some at this point. And Will Levis, you got to put Baker Mayfield above those guys. Baker had a good year last year.
He did. He had a good year. I think he fits well in Tampa for the moment, at least.
I do, man. I mean, he's focused. I mean, he messed up early in his career. It's redemption time. He goes out there and he does his deal every time.
You know what's so funny is Gardner Minshew might be the starter for the Raiders this year.
Might be. That's the thing. I would have already made him the starter.
He should be.
He should be. Aiden O'Connell right now, I mean, he said has just a little bit of the edge over Gardner Minshew.
Why did they not take a quarterback last year?
Well,
are they trying to tank for next year's class?
Well, they're going to have to get an elite quarterback.
Yeah.
But that was the big question. Everybody thought they were. I mean, there's rumors they tried to jump up. They tried to jump up, but nobody was willing to participate. But they will. You know, Tom Brady's still trying to buy, 10% of that team or a small percentage of that team? But he understands the value of the quarterback, clearly. The Raiders' first pick was Brock Bowers. I actually like Brock Bowers a lot, but you got to think at this point, you know, Caleb Williams was off the board. Jaden Daniels was off the board. Michael Penix Jr. was off the board at that time. J.J. McCarthy was off the board at that time before the Raiders picked.
They don't want to roll with Bo Nix?
I honestly think instead of Bowers, if Michael Penix Jr. was still there, I think that's what they would have done. I do. Or if J.J. McCarthy would have slipped to them, I think that's what they would have done. Because I know Denver's got Bo Nix and blah, 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 blah. Man, they're still so far away. It's such a different class than Mahomes and Herbert at this point. You know, this isn't just Chargers love. Jim Harbaugh, I think, he's obviously a good coach. He's a national championship coach, but he's won everywhere he's been. I don't think they're division winning worthy at this point. I did like their draft. They're still missing some pieces at wide receiver because you lose Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
I mean, the Chargers have been perpetually in the show me what you can do before I believe it category.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I totally get it at that point. But, yeah, you got to have the quarterback. And that's the thing. Just like we talked about Jalen Daniels a minute ago from Kansas. Like, you're only going as far as he's going.
Correct, yeah.
Because last year, Jason Bean played out of his mind. Not there anymore. So, yeah, you've got to have that quarterback. You got to believe in that quarterback. That's the one thing that makes the difference. It's like we said, Mahomes out there in St. Joe on the practice field, and guys like Xavier Worthy expected to step up right now as we go. I mentioned Kingsley Suamatia, the Kansas City Chiefs, because I think this is actually the biggest storyline in training camp. Who's going to win the left tackle job? Obviously, Wanya Morris, probably the leader in the clubhouse at this point because he had four starts under his belt. He's got a year with the Chiefs. But what can Kingsley do? And again, when the full squad shows up and who's out there with the starting five right in the beginning, that's usually the direction. That's usually the leaders in the clubhouse, that first group they put out there. We'll hear from Kingsley next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.